Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
What's going on?
I just got back from the dentist.
That's exciting.
Yes, and if our listeners remember, I had some harsh words for our dentist last time because I thought
that was
that
your
they
kid's
were,
dentist. Is it the same?
Yeah,
one?
Same dentist, family okay. Dentistry. And I was like convinced that they were lying to me. And I came back and it turns out that they were actually doing a pretty good job. Just the people working there were very bad.
Explaining things,
yeah. Reassuring things. And so
their explanation to you was, why do you care? Insurance will cover it. Like, don't you worry your pretty little head. Your insurance will pay for it, which is not an acceptable answer when you right. want to understand what's happening with your children's. I prefer right. you not drill into my kid's mouth, actually.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep going.
So I think that feedback might have gotten its way to the dentist because she took extra long time in showing me stuff about my teeth.
Because
one of my fillings fell out.
That's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, that is something I had to fix.
I have had a filling chip, but I don't know that I've ever had the entire... I have had to go in and have them like really old ones from when I was a kid repaired, but I have felt the feeling.
It was on the front of my tooth, on the face.
Interesting.
I'm showing this on video, by the way, to Maggie.
I'm sure people tuned in today to listen to our dentistry discussion.
Yeah. So this one had to be repaired. Anyway, you are super passionate about today's topic.
I'm excited about today's topic because ever since we started this podcast, which I love how it creates financial discussions with all sorts of people you never would have had financial discussions with. One of the most sort of, I was going to say combative, but not, I don't even combative. No one's ever said anything combative to me. one of the biggest things people don't understand about the concept of, this term we call FIRE, which stands for financial independence, retire early, is the retire early part. That actually, ironically, some people love the idea. Some people, it really turns them off because they think, but I want to work. I'm here. I have skills. I should be providing skills. I want to be a productive member of society. I would be bored. They have all sorts of thoughts about retirement. And I always, sort of my retort to them is like, this isn't actually about like what you think of as retirement when you're like 70 and want to, lay around and do nothing or whatever you do at that age. Which, by the way, I know that's not what 70-year-olds do. So
yeah, I think you just offended all of our 70-plus listeners.
My mom, I know she does a lot of things.
Yeah, my parents.
Very active. Everybody, yep, very active. That's not what I meant. Anyways, I'm just saying people think of retirement as like hanging out and just this life of luxury. And that's not what I think about when I think about FIRE. I think about freedom, not quote retire early or early retirement. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I think it is a common misunderstanding of why you might want to take a different financial path in your life. Is they're like, well, I don't even care. I don't mind working till I'm 65 or 70. And I'm like, well, that's not really the point. It's about, do you want freedom to have options in life? Right. And so for today's episode, we're going to kind of break this down in three parts. We're going to talk about what financial freedom is, why you might want it, and then how to attain it.
And to show our listeners how passionate you are about this topic, I'd like to point out that you have never once cut me off in a story of context where we're just shooting the breeze about stuff.
Into the show topic.
You're like, I don't have time for this context, Mike. I need to get into the context.
And stop the dentistry. Let's talk about financial freedom.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into it, Maggie.
Okay. So we already said it a little bit, but financial independence and that term, which again, the term financial independence, the term financial freedom, like I think they mean the same thing. Would you agree, Mike? Actually, that's not true. Yeah. You answer.
Do you want me to answer or do you want to just...
I do, but I was just about to answer my own question. You go ahead and answer.
I think there's going to be a continuum on both of these things.
Yes.
When I personally think about financial independence, it means you don't need money whatsoever. You don't need to earn it anymore.
Yeah.
When I think of financial freedom, I think about more flexibility and the freedom to make different choices because you don't need as much money or you don't need money as badly.
Yeah,
but I think this is very subjective. So there's no hard and fast definition.
But that's a really good definition. And I think, you know, the idea, the word independence implies it's sort of, yeah, like you said, at the end of the continuum of financial freedom of you don't ever have to work again, right? But the concept is that you've essentially saved the money that you need, or you have a passive income from a rental property or from dividends on investments, et cetera. And you've done the math to know that that money will last you the rest of your life and you don't ever have to work again, right? Doesn't mean you may not choose to work again and choose to give more philanthropically, give more to your kids, all sorts of things, right? Take more vacations, whatever you want to do. But the idea is that you don't have to, right? And so, and there's a lot of math that supports, you know, what this concept is. I do think the interesting thing is most people I've talked to don't realize that the average person, right? Not somebody in the FIRE movement who obviously is more familiar with the math, but the math is often much lower than you actually think you need to actually get to financial independence, which is something I learned, you know, a few years ago.
And so, Maggie, as you mentioned in the intro, our podcast is Friends on FIRE, which is financial independence, retire early. Now, the retire early part, you know, I think it's all about how you define it, kind of like the difference between financial independence, financial freedom. Retirement for most people, because they don't know of any other options, is age 70 or 65 or whatever, and, you know, wearing khakis and walking along a beach and not really doing anything with your time. It's a very unimaginative thing. Retirement, though, that sort of retirement, I think you and I are both not interested in at all. Even at age 70, that's not what we want to do. But we are talking about retiring early from a particularly demanding career. That is something that I think a lot of people can relate to. But even with that, it is not about retiring from all work. It is about doing something different with your time that doesn't require you to go into an office for 10 hours a day and get a paycheck.
Yeah, Mike. And it's about options, right? So to me, financial freedom is all about having options, right? It's like you said, and we're not, you know, we don't hide this, but, you know, we both want to leave corporate America one of these days. And that's no secret. But when we do leave, we're not going to sit around and do nothing, right? I want to retire from this type of life and lifestyle. Like you said, Mike, it's, you know, going to the office for 10 hours a day. It's being away from my kids, right? It's not being able to see them grow up and be an active part. And then what's left of me is the worst piece of me, right? I'm stressed. I'm tired. I have so little left for my kids or my husband. It's that, right? And so to me, the beauty of financial freedom is the idea of having options. And it's like I said a minute ago, this is a path that most people, the average person, does not realize is attainable and did not even know it was a thing, right? And so they were raised thinking the world works a certain way, and they did not know that there are alternative paths. And I would put myself in that category, right? So we'll talk more about it, but I didn't know there were other paths, right? I was always just kind of frugal and conservative with my money, but I didn't know what I was doing it for, and I didn't know there was a better path.
And I was on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
where
it's all you
I
knew.
Didn't see an option for working very long in life.
But that is so rare, right? The fact that and especially in that generation, the fact that, I mean, I think there will be more kids raised by, you know, people in the quote FIRE movement now growing up. But when your dad, you know, you're 40, almost 40, you know, 40 years ago, like that was a very unusual thing, right? That was even more of a rarity than it is today. And I just think it's so interesting that I remember somebody who I know who heard about this podcast and listened to it early on. And their first comment to me was like, I literally never thought about it. I just didn't. Well, they thought, well, I have to work till I'm 65 or 70. Right. And so I just think it's so interesting that there is a better path. So let's shift and talk about that better path. Right. So why might you want to seek financial freedom? It may not, again, back to the point about retirement and the concept of retirement kind of turning some people off. It may not seem obvious of why you would want to seek financial freedom. So we thought we'd talk through it a little bit.
And it's funny that you say obvious, because I think once we talk about these things, it will become quite obvious. But to your earlier point, people just don't even understand that this is a possibility. So the way that I like to think about it and talk about it with people is think of all of the things that caused you stress related to money. Getting promoted, losing your job, getting a certain bonus, buying something very large.
Whole pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic, saving up for some expense. All of those things are going to be stressful to you. Whether or not you understand the reason behind it, it is because you are worried about having enough money. Either having enough money to do something you want or losing something that provides you an income. And once you are financially independent or you have a degree of financial freedom, those things stop becoming as stressful, perhaps not stressful at all. And Maggie, I think back to the conversations you and I had when our company did the 20% pay reductions.
This past year.
And then we also had furloughs.
Yeah, we knew furloughs were coming. We knew layoffs were coming,
yeah,
right?
So to clarify, this was a few conversations we had. We had pay cuts. We then had furloughs. We then had layoffs.
Yeah.
These are incredibly stressful times. You and I were not, and I'm telling.
I was curious, not stressed.
Right. I was not.
I wanted to know the outcome.
About this, but being financially independent alleviated that stress because if we lost our jobs or if we got a pay reduction, it was not going to change our lives. We didn't need the money.
Well, and back to the difference between independence and financially independent and freedom, just having some financial freedom and cash reserves or you know money in the bank would give you the exact same feeling, right? Because even if you hadn't hit the point where you could fully leave work forever, you still, if you had enough in the bank, would, or you know, passive income through a rental property or whatever your approach might be, you still have that same feeling of security of like, oh, I could, you know, be out of work for a couple of years and I'm fine. And I could always go back to work later when my kids get older, you know, whatever it is. But it's just this financial freedom and cushion. It gives you security, the feeling of financial security, which then gives you options, which I believe then gives you the ultimate level of happiness.
That's right.
So I just, that is why, you know, we've talked about it before, just the concept of like money can't buy happiness, but money in the bank can buy happiness. I don't like buying yourself crap is not going to make you happy.
Right.
But it's just, it's the best feeling in the world. It's like a drug. I mean, just to be clear, I don't like take drugs, but I feel like it would be like a drug.
Sorry, go ahead. Thank you for that clarification, Maggie.
It's probably like a drug. I don't know.
Financial freedom also gives you a level of confidence to and the ability to go be true to yourself. So, you know, we have this saying, you know, you sell your soul to corporate America. You don't have to do that when you don't need money at all or don't need as much money. You can go pursue jobs that are good for the world, are better for your work-life balance, and you don't have to be constantly chasing a paycheck. You don't have to take the first job that comes your way. You don't have to be stressed as much if you lose your job. That is one of the big benefits of having a lot of money saved up.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about like a very political situation, not at our work, at their work. And I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, I just wouldn't even get involved in that. You know, I don't care. I'm not going to like, you know, it was again, this feeling of freedom of being like, that wouldn't even bother me. And it shouldn't, you know, shouldn't bother you because you, this person has options too. I was like, you got options. So you walk away from that tomorrow if it's bugging you. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, it's an amazing feeling. Hey, Mike, have you enjoyed this past year of quarantine, aside from all of the terrible things that are going on in the world, like your personal lifestyle and being at home and having more flexibility?
Absolutely.
What did you enjoy about it?
The flexibility.
And the freedom, right? The freedom to wear what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The flexibility to go for a run during lunch. And, you know, I know those seem like trivial examples, but it's the quality of life, right? And I just use that example just to think about, you know, back to why you would want to seek financial freedom. To do whatever the F you want, right? I don't know what you're into, right? I know what I enjoy doing. I don't know some of the, you know, you want to make more model airplanes, Mike, make more lacrosse videos for Michigan, whatever you want to do. It allows you to go pursue your passions and not have to worry, if those passions will bring in a certain size paycheck. You could be like, it allows us to do stuff like this podcast, right? Like, I think it'd be cool if someday this podcast can pay for itself, but I'm not really bothered if it doesn't. And I'm not trying too hard to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually just talking to somebody about this today, and she was impressed by the number of downloads we have, the number of listeners we have. And she asked if we were making any money on it. And I said that we've talked to some potential sponsors about it, but the amount of work it would take to go pull in a few dollars is not worth the time. And that is part of being financially free.
Yeah.
We don't have to chase every dollar that comes our way if we don't want to.
And it's not worth the time. I agree right now. And it's not worth the trade-off to our listeners right now too, of like, they have to sit through that also. Right. So if it's something I'm like super passionate about and it's a product I'd endorse anyways, but I don't really want to make you guys sit through listening to, I don't know.
Maggie, you spent 5 minutes talking about your Chacos last week.
Oh, you're right. Or dentistry. So they're probably like, we already sit through a lot of crap with you guys. We wouldn't care. Right. Anyways.
Maggie talks about the clothes purchases all the time.
Moving on. I think another interesting thing about kind of back to the difference in like financial freedom versus independence is there's a lot of different types of financial freedom you can seek. So Mike, at the very beginning, you said, you know, there's this continuum. And you can seek complete financial freedom, which is what I would call financial independence and what most do. You could seek, you know, partial freedom of, you don't need to make a lot of money. Like, you could get by on a smaller, like, we have much larger salaries, but we could get by on a teacher's salary or, you know, even a part-time nonprofit salary, right? And I just think it's an interesting point to say it is not all or nothing, right? There's so many flavors and customized approaches you could take to the idea of having financial freedom. You could have a little bit of financial freedom, which is you don't stress when there's layoffs because you know you could spend some time unemployed and you'd be fine. Or you could have a lot of financial freedom, which is I don't ever have to work again, right? And the industry has actually coined all sorts of terms on the different kind of, you know, on those continuums of things like lean FIRE, fat FIRE, coast FI, slow FI, even I love barista FI, which is the idea that you could basically get by on the salary of like working in a coffee shop, which again would be a, you know, lower hourly wage.
So if you're listening to this and this is like new information for you, you're probably asking, so what can you do to achieve a degree of financial freedom or financial independence? And my first suggestion would be listen to our entire catalog of podcasts and you will get all
what is
the
this number 95? Yeah. Just 90 the, podcasts. Super easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one weekend.
You can skip the one about me buying a car. That's not going to help you on your journey. Actually, it might.
No, it would. That's one
you're
of
right.
our better
Never
ones.
Never mind. You're right.
Maggie,
you're right.
That was one of our most popular ones.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I was thinking they don't care about my car purchase, but it's more of how you'll learn about your own decision and what to drive.
So the first one, and this is going to seem quite obvious, but I'm going to share a little more context about it.
Well, I
financial context, not context about like the shoes I bought.
Not Maggie
weekend.
Context.
Right, exactly. Although I did spend 5 minutes talking about my dentist visit. First point, which all of this is dependent on, is you need to live on less than you make. And so this is called living below your means. But the reason this is incredibly important is that when you spend less than you make, the less you spend, the more you are able to save. So your savings rate goes up. But then it also means that you require less to live on. So the amount of money you have saved goes farther. If you earn $100,000 and you spend $75,000, you save $25,000. It would take you 3 years, forget interest and all that sort of stuff, taxes. It would take you 3 years to save up 1 year of living expenses.
That's and to be clear, you're saying that $25,000 in savings a year times three is 75, right? Which means, yeah, for every 3 years I work, I'm saving up 1 year.
Right.
Now you double that.
Right. If you decrease your spending to $50,000, that means that you are saving 50. It means that you have to work 1 year to save up 1 year of living expenses.
And this is like stating the obvious, Mike, but I think it's worth reminding people, when you live on less than you make, there's two ways to do that and to increase your savings rate. One is to make more money, which is a lofty goal. Go for it. The other is to reduce your spending, which we've got entire episodes on, right? But just the idea of, I think people often are so focused on making more money that they don't recognize a lot of the path to financial freedom is sitting right in front of them on so many little things they don't realize they're spending money on and could stop and wouldn't really have a negative impact on their quality of life, especially when they realize they have a why, right? And their why and an end goal, which is financial freedom.
So your target for this should be to increase your percentage savings rate every single year until you get to a point where you have reached your minimum level of spend. And so you've probably heard a number of different recommendations about what's the best percentage of your income to save. And it's going to be like 10% or 15%. That is not enough. If you are interested in any degree of financial freedom, you need to be much, much higher. And if you want to be aggressive about achieving financial independence at an early age, it needs to be like 75%. It needs to be huge. But this is all very doable, and you should take this in little increments, and you will build up to that amount, I'm sure.
Yeah. So what do you do once you've saved a lot of money, Mike? You do what I do, which is like let it sit in cash for a decade.
So you have to, once you get this money in the bank, you need to invest it. And the easiest way to do this is in the stock market. So most FIRE bloggers and podcasters are going to be proponents of low-cost index funds, which invest across the entire stock market, which is a great tool, but it is not the only tool. You can find all kinds of more aggressive or less aggressive stock market investments. You can buy rental properties. You can invest in small businesses. You can start a small business of your own. There is no one best way to invest, but you have to invest. If you want any degree of financial independence, you are going to have to let your money do work for you, and it's going to have to grow.
Because if you're not investing, again, many of you know this, but you're actually losing money every year because of inflation. So that growth of, again, through various different types of investment vehicles. And if you've never invested before and you want to get started, we have an episode that has the basics of how to get started investing and talks about some of those basic index funds. But I still am shocked by how many people, you know, all of this is like a graduated kind of level of progress. I know a lot of people that live below their means and have a high savings rate. It could have a higher savings rate, but still have a very respectable savings rate. And then they don't invest it because they don't know where to begin. And I was this person, to be clear. I've talked about this a lot. You know, I spent 10 to 15 years making good money and not investing because I didn't know how to, and I didn't know where to begin. And I was kind of just paralyzed with options and indecision. And I was always planning on doing something like soon. And then next thing I know, you know, years went by and decades went by. And gosh, the amount of money I would have now is, I try not to think about it. But anyways, the point is, right, live on less than you make, have a higher than average savings rate, and invest early and often. And I, you know, you talked about this earlier, Mike, but like you grow up knowing this, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up always saving and being very conservative with my spending, you know, mixed in with plenty of splurging, but I didn't know what I was saving for, right? So back to the beginning, like I knew I was saving to have options and for emergencies and things like that, but I didn't realize financial freedom was an option, right? I didn't know that that was a path. And as soon as I realized that was a path, I even started even more aggressively saving as a result, right? So I was living pretty well below my means. And then I got even further below my means once I realized, you know, what I was doing this for. And, you know, it's just back to this idea that like we, so many of us, with the exception of you and a few other, a handful of people that might've been raised in your situation in this generation, we're taught to believe that like you just put money in your retirement account, your 401k, and that's going to, and then you work till you're 65 or 70. And then that money, it'll be enough money to retire on at that point. And they never did the math of like what you just walked through, right? In that $100,000 example. To see, hey, there's actually another option in life where like you could enjoy really amazing quality time with your kids before they go off to college and, you know, just have a whole different quality of life if you just make some different trade-offs and different choices that aren't really even like tough trade-offs to many people once they kind of have an end goal in mind. for me, that realization that there is an alternate path, there is another way, is eye-opening, right? Which is part of the point of today's episode overall. People think that they have to, that not have to, that they should get to, it's a privilege, whatever you want to call it, to spend the money they make. They set aside a modest percentage in their retirement and their 401k. Maybe they do a personal IRA account in addition to their 401k, and they max that out every year and they feel really good about themselves. And by the way, you should, if you're doing that, that's great. They otherwise thought, well, of course I'm just going to spend all my money, like, and I'll have an emergency fund and like, but because that's what I do. And I'm like, yeah, cool. You can do that and you can work until you're 65 or 70. But it's just, it's fascinating to me that people don't even realize there's another path, right? Which is what I am clearly so passionate about spreading the word on. So I think the other thing that I heard this term, I actually heard this term in a podcast the other day, that where the Fioneers, Jess from the Fioneers was being interviewed on Yo Quiero Dinero podcast. And she was saying, trust the math. And I just loved that phrase because, you know, with what we just said about live on less than you make, have a higher than average savings rate, and then invest that savings early and often, you have to understand and trust the math to do that and kind of put your faith in that, right? It's not even faith, it's math. So put your trust in that and know what it costs you to live per year, know what your net worth is, and know what the path that you're on is. And I love that phrase, trust the math, because it's important.
So I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine at a previous company, and we were talking about savings rates. And I told her what mine was, and she was like, wow, do you feel like you're doing that? And I'm like, I don't feel anything.
What do you mean,
I
feel like?
Because I keep track of it in a spreadsheet. It's math. Like, I can see these numbers. I know what it is. And that's kind of what the point is.
Yeah, it's not a feeling.
Yeah, this is not hard. And we have, let me just plug our Etsy store for a second. We have an expense tracker. We have a mortgage pay down calculator. We have a net worth tracker. We have all of these tools, which we hope make these processes as easy as possible. But once you put in your numbers and you're paying attention to it, this stuff becomes really easy. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, the other point I'd make about, you know, how you seek financial freedom, in addition to, you know, all of the math, which is, you know, a much more concrete piece of it. The other piece of it is you still need to work really hard and take pride in doing a good job, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're not going to reach financial freedom on some get rich quick scheme. Maybe like, you know, some tiny percentage of people out there actually have, but like 99% of the world is not going to. That is not the path to financial freedom. The path is work hard, do a good job. One of my favorite books, have you ever read Linchpin,
no.
Mike? It's one of my favorite books. I read it when I was like in my early 20s and I used to give it out to people all the time, but it's just, it's the idea of being a linchpin, like the thing in the door that holds it together. But just being so great at what you do that people come to rely on you and don't want to not have you, right? And if you're a linchpin wherever you work, you'll have good job security, right? People want you around. People, I feel like you're looking at me funny. Is this not making sense?
Maggie, would you say you are a linchpin in this podcast operation?
Oh, for sure.
I would agree.
You
with
need
that.
Me.
Yeah,
you don't even know how to get stuff up on the website or like load
don't.
It on. I mean, but at the same time, you're a linchpin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't. We can't do this without each other. We're like the two linchpins that hold the door together. You know,
we don't even have a door. We're just two linchpins.
anyway, it's the concept of being indispensable. That's what it is, and I think that's an important point because we've talked about it a little bit before, but I'm big on like, you got to work hard. You got to have drive. You got to take pride in the work you do. Mm-hmm. And again, retiring early is not about being lazy. It's about wanting options and wanting to be able to pursue your passions.
Yeah.
So should we shift to our top three takeaways?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Number one, it is not about the traditional concept of retiring early. It is about seeking and attaining financial freedom.
Yes. Number two, financial freedom gives you the ultimate in security options in your life, and then as a result, happiness.
And number three, and this one is particularly important, almost anybody can attain financial freedom if you are focused and have some follow through.
Okay. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Thanks for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you have heard today, we would love for you to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out and helps other people find the show.
You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram or Facebook.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.